Hi, Downey. I am your current mayor of the city of Downey, Hector Sosa, and welcome to Talking Downey. Today, I am the host. I'm usually in the hot seat, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Ronnie Fernandez.
Thank you for having me, Hector.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Ronnie Fernandez runs the Fernandez Therapy Group. And Ronnie's been a fixture here in the city of Downey for many years,
yep.
Right?
Yep, over 10 years, I think I've been here. Yeah,
this is the first time we sat down. I'm actually pretty excited about this because, well, for two reasons. I'm not in the hot seat today. I'm usually where you're at.
Yeah.
And also, I get to ask the questions and we get to talk about a topic that I believe is really important. And the topic of, men's mental health. Therapy and all things related to that.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
So, Fernandez Therapy Group, when did you start that?
We just started this year, actually. I've been a therapist for over 10 years now. I've had my private practice for about 6 years and just really want to focus on just kind of how to bring therapy more to to everybody, right? I think there's still that little stigma with therapy, and so with our different therapists, we all have different specialties, right? So for me, it's men's mental health, so I focus on men's mental health.
You know, thank you for doing that. I think the audience will agree that men's mental health is a very important topic, and maybe you can shed some light on your personal journey and the mental health field.
Yeah.
And, you know, how it shaped your approach.
Right.
To addressing and helping men with mental health.
Yes. So I received my bachelor's from Dominguez Hills, and then I went to USC School of Social Work. And so when you're in those fields, right, of like mental health and social work, there's not a lot of men there. It's majority women. And so a lot of the focus goes more towards women and people at disadvantage, and not a lot goes into men's mental health from my experience. And so I was like, man, there's a need here. There's a need for therapy to be more, appealing to men. Cause I think a lot of times when we think of therapy for men, it's men seem to be really reluctant to kind of seek help. And so I really did a real deep dive into men's mental health and why we don't do it. Right. And so, for me being, you know, the minority in the field of being a male and, saying like, okay, well, if it's not me, then, you know, who else is going to be, you know? So, right. So yeah.
Well, no, it totally makes sense. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that because we all know there's a stigma to mental health overall, but men's mental health because we're proud,
right?
You know, we have a lot of pride, and then we get stubborn, even like when we have to, you know, ask for directions,
right.
Or ask for any type of help, even if it's the simplest help,
right?
You know what I mean? We want to be able to say, you know, I'm going to figure this out on my own,
right?
But it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah, and I think that's how we were kind of groomed, right? Is that we had to be tough, that we had to be able to figure out on ourselves. And the thing is that most of the time it does work, right? Sometimes you just put your head down and you got to get it done. There's no excuses. And that's how we've built that, right? But there are some times in our lives that we get stuck and that we can't overcome it by ourselves. And we don't have the tools yet to ask for help. And so, and I think one of the main things I've seen, like in men's depression, is that it doesn't look like you're just kind of sad, crying, and like just kind of soaking in the corner when you're a man. It's more, it looks more like irritability. You're isolating yourself. Oh, I'm not gonna go out. I'm gonna go watch the game by myself, or not doing things that you used to do. And so, and also the high irritability, where little things are going to get you upset. And so a lot of these things we don't think about when we think of depression. We think of, oh, he needs anger management. Hey, there's something wrong. You know, those type of things. But in reality is we weren't really taught the tools to go out and ask for help and what that looks like, right? I mean, you know, when we're young, we go and we go with the guys. We might have a couple beers and we have a good time. But after that, once we become a family, I feel like sometimes what I've seen a lot of men is like, okay, this is our job. We're the father, we're the husband, and we need to be that rock. But sometimes, I mean, life just it gets to us.
Yeah, I think we all understand that there is a lot of pressure on men. You know, especially being a man raised here in Southern California, it's expensive to live here.
Right.
When you start raising a family, we have a lot of responsibilities, and you know, I can understand the stigma to it. But you know, the thing that we have to realize is you're a professional. Mm-hmm. You're a professional in your own right, and you've studied, you have the credentials, you've earned it, and we go to professionals for basically every need in our life.
Right.
Anywhere from a mechanic, we entrust our cars with a professional mechanic. We go to the doctor. The doctor goes through rigorous studying to, you know, pass the you know, the necessary exams and whatever field they go into. So we entrust our health with them.
Right.
And you know, sometimes we need some more serious than help than others, and we entrust our bodies and you know, our health with professional doctors. You know, we get our taxes done with professionals. We go through financial planning with professionals. And why not, you know, go through a professional when it comes to mental health or therapy?
Right. And I think I think that's 100% true. But I also feel like the field has not, we haven't really focused towards men and what's going to get them to be a part of it.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. So we have to look like what works, right? So what works when you think of like your dad or your grandfather, right? Like what worked for them? And we look at all the negative things, right? Look at all the negative things. But like someone that's healthy, they usually like have hobbies, right? They play golf, they may go fishing, they do those type of things, right? Have outings where they hang out with people. But yet we don't encourage that like in mental health, which is weird, right? I think we should kind of meet people where they're at. And so I think we have to promote, you know, golfing with your friends, right? Outside of golfing, your golf buddies, do you see them just to like talk? Like, no, a lot of times you do those things so you're able to have some time with your friends and going and talking. And so I think if you are having some sort of like isolation, you're not doing things that you used to do, things get you upset, you want to do something first, right? And so a lot of the times it's basic things. It's sleep. Make sure that you're sleeping.
Right.
You exercise. You're hanging out with your friends. And if those things are not working, then it's time. Then you have to, it's kind of like any kind of challenge. You have to figure it out. Like, what's going to work?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, you brought up golf. I love to golf. I go out there. I got my sons into it. And, you know, we have the best weather here in Southern California, you know, from the nation. But nothing beats going out there on a beautiful day, playing on a nice course. You're hanging with your boys.
Right.
And sometimes you're able to just bounce things off of them and that's therapeutic.
Right.
It really is. You know, I'm not that good. I'm not going to be on the PGA Tour anytime soon, but there's something about being out there.
Right.
And being able to, you know, it's the social factor part of that.
Right.
And sometimes, like, my wife and I, we like to go on hikes and just being out in nature, you know.
And those are the interventions that we want to see.
Is
okay, you know, we need to go for hikes. And even in therapy, like, you know, we have to have those type of, you know, interventions. We're like, you know, we're going to go work out, you know, like I'm trying to work with different people in the community. Like, hey, can we do like a weightlifting thing for guys?
Yeah.
Where we just kind of, cause I mean, I used to lift weights in high school and it was lifting weights, but also talking like, hey, let's go lift some weights. How much can you bench? Like all those type of things kept us talking. And so I think coming from that angle too, and those are the things that I really would like to bring, where it's not just like, okay, there's a problem. It's a thing where it's time to take action. It's, you need to be, you know, get things going. And I don't know, I was talking to my wife, I was talking to some about like, sometimes when you become a father and a husband, you felt like, all right, this is my sole job. I need to be here. I need to provide. I need to be a father. I need to be a husband. And we forget about us. And I think that's also a society thing too.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about mental health, I'll talk about it. Oh, yeah, so they could be good fathers.
Yeah.
Oh, so they could be good husbands. Like, well, how about that person? How about that man? Right? Yeah. It's, you know, like, and the big stat that I always bring up is the suicide rate. You know, so we're talking about, you know, it's about 3-4 times the rate of women.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing where we hold it in and we hold it in and we don't know what to do with it. And so I think being able to kind of like say, look, golfing is really important. Might not sound important to a lot of people, but to be able to hang out with your friends once a month, whatever, is a huge deal. Working out, those type of things. And so, and you can learn a lot from golf. Yeah. I just took lessons. I'm just taking lessons. Uh-oh. Now.
Watch out.
Yeah, right? Because like, there's something to this. And guys, like, you try hard too much. You need to relax. And so trying to learn how to relax. So all these little things that I think if we would break down for people, like, I think it would help with, you know, when it gets to that point of reaching out for professional help. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, that the social factor and just being out and enjoying the nice weather that we're blessed with here in Southern California. Like, you know, I give an example. Like, you know, I've had a really busy year, and it was just a few weeks ago where I was coming off a really busy week, and I was just at home. We had a busy weekend, but Sunday just, you know, we make it a point to relax. And you know, we were relaxing at home, and, you know, my younger son comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dad, let's go play a few holes of golf." I said, I thought about it. I told my wife, I said, "You know what? Yeah, I think I'm going to get out."
Yeah.
I've had a kind of a long, stressful week.
Right.
And it was so simple. We just went out. I think we got in, you know, 11 or 12 holes. But it felt good.
Right.
It felt good. I felt so relaxed when I got home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got some quality time in with my son. And that was, you know, it was really cool. It's just something simple.
Right. And I think sometimes we think we need this huge intervention if we're, you know, if we're feeling irritated or we're just kind of feeling down. Sometimes you just need to go hit some balls around, hang out with the guys, and or just, you know, do something for yourself.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, we got to be able to bounce some stuff off of each other, because we all go through things. And I can tell you right now, I think we all understand that no one has it all figured out. I don't care how successful you are, what field you're in. How much money you got in the bank. No one has it all figured out. Yeah. We all need help at some point. And I got to tell you, you know, the men's mental health. You know, I brought this up on the dais on one of our city council meetings. It was around last summer. Someone from Southgate invited me to, they had a men's mental health awareness fair. In Southgate, and it was huge. You know, it was backed by the county, and my wife and I went there, and I didn't see anybody from Downey that I recognized, but there was this huge fair. I was so impressed. Yeah. I'm like, we need this in Downey.
Right.
And so I came back, and I brought it up in a council meeting on the dais. I said, you know, I asked staff to look into holding a men's mental health awareness fair this year in 2025. So we got the ball rolling on that. And, you know, I was kind of surprised, and I wasn't. But I brought it up on the dais, and there's some guys in the audience that I know. And, you know, we have people that watch it on YouTube virtually. And I was kind of blown away by the amount of phone calls and texts I received over the next few days from some guys I know, some of them tough guys.
Right.
And they just said, "Hey, Hector, you know, thank you for doing that.
Right.
Thank you for bringing that up. And however I can help, we want to help. I want to be able to help with the men's wellness fair that you're putting together."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Hey, you know, thank you for acknowledging that." And, you know, that kind of, you know, solidified. I'm like, you know what? This is something we really need to address here.
Yeah. Thank you for pulling that together and just being able to have people just have the discussion, right? I mean, it's a thing where we don't talk about it. And even for myself, right? I'm a therapist. I do all this stuff. But yet, you know, I see myself like, man. And you, I mean, especially you, right? You're the mayor, you're running around, you have a job. And we just are so focused, and we tend to forget about ourselves, right? And I was wondering, why am I isolating myself? I don't want to go out. I don't want to, like, you know, I just want to be by myself. I'm overworking, all these type of things. And And it's like, those are symptoms of like male depression.
Right.
Right. Overworking, isolating, not doing things you're supposed to do. And it's like, I should know that right away. Right.
Right.
And it's just like, no. And it's just not until we do the deep down research. And then I'm looking for information. And there's not a lot of information.
Right.
You know? And so it's a thing was like, okay, well then I have to go ahead and do it. And then I found out you were doing the men's mental health, I was like, it's perfect. Like we really need to get the word out where like men are being. And so look, I think there's a big old thing about like feeling weak, right? If we can't handle something, we like feel like, oh my God, we're doing, but it's also being vulnerable. Like, okay, do I have somebody that I can talk to and just go ahead and let them know, you know? And you don't want to go to talk to everybody. You know, I think we learned as kids, like we can't show a lot of emotions out in public. Right. Cause I think we've had a discussion about this of like, there's really mean people out there. Right. Especially being a kid. And I think we're taught to hold down our feelings and not to talk about it. But once you have a good group of friends or just that one person that you're able to talk to, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. Somebody that you haven't talked to in years sometimes, and you just vent to them and you talk to them, and that really helps. But I think giving out that information is such a huge thing.
It really is. And, I appreciate that whole sentiment. And, for the audience watching this right now, you may be thinking of a friend that you haven't talked to in a long time. Reach out to them. Check in on them.
Right.
Say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
you can tell them you need help. Like, if I call you, it's like, hey, I need help moving my couch or something like that to get that person out of the house. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people don't want to to admit that they're not doing well. So,
yeah, you know, and to the audience, if you didn't know, Ronnie did participate on a panel at our first annual or inaugural Men's Mental Health Awareness Fair. And we had some great panels. We're gonna grow. We're gonna expand upon this every year. That's my goal, and that was actually one of my main initiatives during this year, my mayoral year, and because I think it's really important to bring awareness. We had some great panels. Ronnie Fernandez sat along. Rick Rodriguez, former mayor Rick Rodriguez.
Ellis White.
We had Ellis White from Premier Fitness, and then we had. I can't think of his name. From Celico, yeah.
Yes.
I'll think of his name. But it was a great panel, great discussion, some real discussions. And then I was able, I had an opportunity to interview Downey's own Abner Mares, former multi-time champ in boxing, world champ in boxing. And that was great. But, got the audience, it gave the audience an opportunity to hear from professionals, from men that I respect, and I have the deepest amount of respect for you, Ronnie. And a lot of, I got a lot of positive feedback afterwards, because the audience was able to resonate with some of the, the experiences and some of the words that you guys shared. And it was really, really genuine, which I appreciated. I thought it was really necessary. And again, I'm excited to expand upon that every year.
Yeah, no, it is. I think it's such a huge thing to continue. And being able to let guys know, like, it's okay. Like, we're all, we're all struggling. Like what you said, we nobody's figured it out.
Right.
And so being able to help find ways to help to, like, support each other. And, and it's such a big thing to have that first event. So,
No, that's good stuff. Good stuff. So look out for that. June is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. A lot of people don't know that because we don't talk about it, but we're definitely going to raise awareness going forward every year here in the city of Downey. So now let's switch gears a little bit. Tell me about some of the programs and some of the services that you offer at Fernandez Therapy.
Well, right now we have a couple therapists, and so right now it's myself and we have two other therapists. Right now we're just doing on individual therapy, but we're looking to have groups. I'm trying to find because guys, it's really hard to get them right to go ahead and talk, and so we want to kind of switch it up. So, starting next month, we're gonna start having virtual groups where it's more of discussion groups than me going ahead and saying, you need to do this. It's more of like, how are we going to figure this out? And so we'll have one on Tuesdays and one on Thursdays to be able to have more of a discussion. And we'll talk about like how to better control your anger, how to communicate better. But it'll be more of a discussion style, because I think we tend to like learn more if it's more of a discussion than, you know, when you do this is bad, like we don't want any of that stuff. And so we're starting to have those type of groups. I mean, in the future, we would love to have like, you know, where we're at a barbershop, we're at a gym, those type of things. And so, again, we're very just started. So those are the things that we would like in the future to become more of like that this is more appealing, you know, more than we have to walk in with our head down. It's more of like, no, we need to be able to power through, you know, figure it out.
Yeah, that's important. This day and age, it's really important for us men, or all of us overall, to be equipped with the tools to be able to handle things, handle stressful situations. And, you know, we have to be right. We have to be right in so many different ways, physically, mentally.
Yeah.
I've always loved the analogy of every time, and most of us ignore this, but when we board a plane, you know, the stewards go through the old quick clinic on what to do in case of an emergency. And when they go through the instructions on how to use the oxygen mask, they always emphasize, and a lot of us forget this, that make sure you have it on properly, that you're good to go before you try to help your neighbor.
Right.
So there's so many different parallels and analogies that I like to take away from that in so many different areas of life. And being right mentally is top of mind, because we need to make sure we're right and that we're able to carry on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I think we're able to help others.
Yeah. And I think we need to know what that looks like for guys. We don't, I don't think we do. Right. It's either, somebody was saying like, it's either we're fine or we're mad. Yeah. And there's a lot in between. Right.
Yeah.
And so understand like when you're good, like, what does that look like for you? You know,
yeah.
Are you like playing with your kids more? Are you, you know, have more energy? When are you not, you know, what do those look like? Cause for a lot of men, like, I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I'm sad sometimes, but I tell a lot of men, like, you have to look at your symptoms. You have to look at what's going on with you. Like, do you not have enough energy? Are you have trouble sleeping? You want to look at the symptoms more than our feelings. And I think sometimes in the mental health field, we go more on feelings. And I think for men, we kind of need to see that concrete kind of, you know, of example of like, no, I used to play basketball with my friends on every Friday or once a month, and now I'm not doing that. Okay. And I don't have that energy like I used to. All right. Yeah. I need to be active. I need to hang out with my friends more. So
yeah.
I think looking out for those type of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Having friends, having a good circle of friends is key, is important to know that you can lean on. And sometimes the simplest thing of just being with your boys, and you know, when you're hanging out with your boys, there's going to be some roasting going on.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot of genuine love. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's traditionally what men do, right? Yeah. Just kind of mess with each other.
It's healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's healthy. And so it's a thing where we want to be at that. You know, there's things that you'll say with your friends that you're not going to say with your wife, right? They're just different things that you're going to say. And so, I think having that is really important. And you know what we've kind of seen is that men in their 30s, like late 20s, early 30s, that we lose a lot of our friends because we kind of focus on our career.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we lose those connections. And so once we turn, have our family, once we have our family, we lose that. And so being able to reconnect and being able to have things that you look forward to.
Yeah. Good. So who is best suited for the services you offer?
I think it's two, right? I think for the younger generation that are maybe in their 20s, early 20s, that kind of need to find a way out of their situation, right? They might not be on the path that they want to be, right? To help figure out where they want to go. And the other one is, I really think that it's a lot of like men that are like between 40 and 50, where we're not, you know, we're not doing those type of things that we used to, getting used to like our body changing, getting used to our relationships changing.
Yeah.
And so being able to learn those skills where, you know, when we grew up in a generation where it was more of like, you had to be tough, you had to be, you know, those type of things, and which is great. And I always have a thing about like, we don't want to lose our masculinity. Like, we want to make sure that we still are able to do masculine things. Right.
Right.
But we also need to know when to be vulnerable as well, as like, okay, look, I'm not doing good. I don't feel great right now. I need to, you know, I should go ahead and talk to somebody. And, you know, and I think if you kind of see what's going on in your life, and because we get caught up, right? We do a lot of things. Like, I was, you know, I'm part of Rotary, I'm part of Gangs Out of Downey, I run a nonprofit, I do all these things. And it's like, okay, how about me? Like, I kind of need to control. Yeah. And I need to be able to look, hey, where are my friends at? Where am I hanging out? Like, what am I doing? And it's just like, and it got to a point where it's just like, no, I need to cut some things out to be able to take care of myself.
Yeah,
and
yeah, so, exactly.
Pretty sure you have this, yeah. You running around.
Yeah, yeah. No, sometimes, you know, I have flexibility in what I do for a living, but I do, you know, being on city council, we put in as much time as we want to. But this is, you know, I think those who have been mayor before understand that this has been the busiest year of my life.
Right.
But we have to remember we have the power to say no. I do prioritize my family. My wife, yes, and I just, you know, celebrated our 27th anniversary.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. You know, she still laughs at my jokes, which I appreciate.
Great.
But, you know, it's important for us to maintain balance.
Correct.
You know, I still have to, you know, we just we're not paid, you know, we get a stipend for what we do for the city. And we have to remember, you know, my business is a priority and my family's a priority. So it's a constant balancing act. And to give an example, you know, my schedule gets crazy sometimes. And
right.
I remember not too long ago, I had a, you know, just a really busy week. And it was kind of burnt out.
Right.
Got to the weekend. I said, all right, I was looking forward to hanging out with my family. And I had committed to an event late Sunday afternoon. And I had some family over, and one of my colleagues asked me, like, hey, are you going to be there? You know, and I thought about it. I said, you know what? I can't. I'm just not feeling it. I got to take a step back, and I got my family here, and I'm going to hang out with my family.
And I think those are important things that we don't – a lot of us can't – are not aware – like, we don't do that, right? Yeah. We just say yes to everything. And I think for me, like, especially being, like, a people pleaser, and I want to make everybody happy and those type of things – those are the things that we work on. It's like, hey, you're going to have to say no sometimes.
Well, yeah. You know, as far as, hard. You know, making people happy and being a people pleaser, right? I realized as soon as I got elected, you're not going to make everybody happy. Newsflash.
Right, right.
So,
and
yeah,
that's one thing that I'm working on is definitely saying no and like, not having people.
So one question for you, I think is important for the audience to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all understand that health coverage and health insurance is expensive.
Right.
Can be really expensive, and it's important to have a good, have a good health or benefit package with whoever your employer is.
Right.
Which leads me to ask you, how affordable and how accessible are your services, and why is it important to have accessibility and affordability when it comes to therapy?
Right. Yeah, it is. And so there's the therapy business part of it is a little tricky, right? It's a thing where we have some therapists that make a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
I think I've seen up to like $250 per session. And so we try to keep it affordable. That's why I'm trying to do more groups where it's more affordable, right? So we can do one group for 100, or we can do four group sessions for like 120, right?
Okay.
So
it's not bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to have things more affordable where if we do have it in groups, you know, even if you don't have insurance or anything, you can still, you know, that's a lot of co-pays and stuff. And so that's kind of the angle that I feel like we're going to go towards, and then also become paneled with more insurance, which is tough. We have our contract with Kaiser, so we do take Kaiser. And they're great, and we like dealing with Kaiser, and so, but we're a little nervous with the other one. So it's something, but to kind of it for it to, for our services to be affordable, I think insurance is such a big deal, because it makes it affordable. So we would look to more groups and more things that are more that are out in the community.
Yeah, no, thank you for doing that. It's tough because, you know what, you're a professional. You put the time in and you offer a valuable service that goes a long way. You should be fairly compensated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because not everybody can do that. I get it. It's a challenge to balance that out with, I'm trying to help people. But at the same time, you know, you got to put food on the table.
Correct.
You know,
and it's hard. It's hard, you know, just trying to balance everything. And, yeah. And just even with the insurance, like, how do we balance all that, all that kind of stuff? So I think that's probably the biggest thing is that we're going to offer more groups.
Great. Now, how do you work to reduce isolation and connection for men?
So I think it's more, we would talk about what does that look like for them, right? If it's like for myself, I overwork, right? I work too much. I want to hang out with my kids. I want to hang out with my wife. And those are all very important to me. But there's also times where, like, okay, what do I like to do? And I think for me, it's hard because I don't know what that is. And I think for a lot of men, we don't know what it is because we're used to working. We're used to doing a lot of things where it's like, okay, what's fun? So what I try to do for me is like, okay, well, a lot of people that I know golf, so let me try golfing, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's, I think it's just kind of like an individual thing of like, what do you want to get into, right? So there's sometimes where, when I was younger, I made pizzas. So yeah. So like every other week, I'll try to make homemade pizzas within my oven and stuff. And so it's just being active and finding things that you like to do.
Right.
And then, you know, hanging out with your friends. And it's always a hard thing. I feel like for a lot of men, for us to go out, there has to be a purpose. And it's hard to say, okay, I just want to go out to kind of hang out. And so I think it's just kind of really talking about what are your interests. And if you don't have any interests, going on that journey and figuring out what you like to do.
Yeah, no, that's important. You know, self-reflection, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We've talked about golf a few times. And it's funny, you know, because, you know, you go out golfing with your boys. I don't care how good the golfer is. Everybody's going to have a bad day, just like in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had a few scenarios where, you know, one of the guys or even myself just having a bad golf game, because golf can be very humbling. And, you know, you see one of your guys getting frustrated and having a bad day. It's like, dude, you're playing golf. You're not working right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're, right. You're out here playing golf.
Yeah.
And, you know, lighten up, you know, cheer up. The thing about golf, and just like in life, all it takes is one good shot. Like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. No, I got I'm doing something here. I got something going.
Yeah, and that's a great example of why we need to have friends and to interact with people. Because we have thoughts. We have really negative thoughts about our life, society. And you need that friend's like, really? know? A lot of times, as a therapist, that's kind of what we do. Is like, we hear different stories and how that story's played in our head.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need somebody who's like, are you really a bad person because you did that? Or is it because of this, this, and this?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's a really great example of like making it, you know, understandable for a lot of people. It's like, hey, come on, man, we're out here playing golf. It's a beautiful day. We're hanging out, you know, like it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And so those are the importance of like seeing a therapist, having friends, those type of things.
Yeah. So, you know, golf is an activity and we mentioned other activities, but when I think of activities, you could also think of creativity.
Right.
And how important is it to be active and to incorporate creativity in our daily lives? And how does that support healing when it comes to mental health?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think you need to have that, like, outside of your family, outside of all the responsibilities, is have some sort of passion, have some sort of thing that's going to help you. It, like working on cars, go ahead. And, you used to like to work on cars as a kid. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's being able to do those type of things. Because, I mean, I grew up in, you know, in a family where people worked and then they were done. Right. Yeah. They sat in front of the TV, had beer, drank beer, you know, and that was their night. But if you do that so long for years and years and years, like, think about it, like, you just sit there in your thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Yeah.
We've all been through something.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, whatever your background is, we've all been through something.
Yeah.
And so being able to, and having to sit in those thoughts, drinking the beer, smoking, doing all those type of things, we sit on it and we see things on our phone and all those type of things. And so that's how things go bad in our head. And so being able to talk to people about it, being able to have your mind going, and, you know, I think sometimes we're given the message of, like, you need to talk about your feelings. You need to talk about, like, you can talk about it and deal with it, but then you also have to, like, get moving. You got to do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk all you want, but you also have to learn how to cope with it and how that's going to be for you. So being able to find out why, you know, outside of your responsibilities, what do you like, right? And I think sometimes as fathers and husbands, we don't really think about that.
Yeah, no, I think at the basis of it, I think staying active is important. I'm not the professional here. You are.
Yeah.
But you know, I've been through some stuff, and I know that even if you're just having a bad day, go out for a walk. I like to run. Go out for a run.
Right.
That's
probably the we underestimate going for a walk. Like, really, it's a, and so we want to think things to get us out of those spaces, right? If we're just, like, feeling like terrible, and we're just in a bad spot, we're just, you know, sometimes we have these negative thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Just being able to get out of the house and go for a walk.
Yeah.
Simple things, lifting weights. I know I'm a lot happier when I lift weights and when I take care of myself than if I'm running around to different things and doing those, you know, commitments. And so, like, I know, like, I always tell people, like, you have to create your secret sauce. Like, what is your sauce, right?
Yeah.
For me, waking up early, working out, you know, doing some sort of activity, you know, and, you know, spending time with my wife, spending some time with my kids, and I'm good. If that's off, then I need to look at what's kind of going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, great point.
I think what you were saying about the basic things, going for walks, you know, making a phone call, like, even if you're having a bad day, you don't have to talk about it with your friend. Like, the bad day, you can talk about, I have a friend that we used to have good times. He's a great guy. And I just call him just to have a good laugh and kind of get out of it. And so I think use the people around you, to kind of being able to reach out and kind of get out of those, like, you know, we call them ruts, you know, we just kind of need to climb out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do you envision the future in the next several years in the community and serving the community for Fernandez Therapy?
Well, I would like to do it where it's part of, like, it's part of the community, right? Where we are having weekly sessions where we're having topics, but we're lifting weights, right?
Yeah.
Or we're for, you know, people that have haircuts, you know, because the barbershop is so therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know, you go there, you talk to people, you have those interactions, you build relationships with with the barbers. And you talk to a barber and they've heard some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're, you know,
they've heard it all.
Yeah. And there's different programs. I think there's, like, Chicago, different areas where they, like, actually train barbers to become, like, better listeners, those type of things.
Yeah.
Because it's for men, they have to be more active. And so I think doing those type of things, those are the big idea things. But I think right now it's, like, trying to slowly build it. And so being able to start with the virtual programs, those type of things.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Nice, very nice. So for our audience here, if there's someone listening, watching this podcast, and they could benefit from using your services or talking to someone like you. How do you recommend they go about that?
So you can go to our website at financetherapygroup.com. Also go to our Instagram. And then for myself, it would be on Instagram, it's Therapy But For Guys. And so we came up with that name because I just felt like there wasn't a lot of interventions for men. And so, okay, it's therapy, but it's for guys. So it's kind of for people that are not, might not be great with their feelings, that might not seem like modern therapy is for them. And so it's focused more towards men, because I just didn't really see that in the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So there you have it, guys. That's how you get in touch with Ronnie. Ronnie's doing some great work in the community here. I've worked with Ronnie and his lovely wife, Joanna, for many years on for different causes. And great family. They're doing some great work here. You've done a lot of great work here with, taking the reins of the 1020 Club.
Yes.
After Daryl Jackson.
Yeah.
The legendary.
Legendary.
Everybody's favorite. Everybody's favorite lefty.
Yeah.
Daryl Jackson and your work with Gangs That Are Downy, with, which both of us, we work closely together on that. And just want to thank you for all that. And just want to let the audience know that, Ronnie Fernandez, he's the real deal. Someone I have the utmost respect for. And you know what? I feel good after this talk. It feels good. Am I going to get an invoice for this?
No.
Right. Yeah, I feel good all of a sudden. But all kidding aside, if you need some help or if you have a friend or family member, reach out to them. If you feel like they can benefit from at least having an initial conversation with Ronnie, reach out to him because it's very helpful. It's vital. It's important. And you know what? It's okay to say, hey, I need help.
Right.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's figure it out.
Yeah. Figure it out. So you know how to look up Ronnie Fernandez. And I've really enjoyed this. It's been a blessing to be here. And just men talking.
Exactly.
Men talking about relevant stuff. So with that said, thank you for joining us. And we're going to check out now, and thank you for joining Talking Downy.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.